Andrews lands in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this gets pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What is up, North Dakota State Bison fans? This is your publisher, Ross Uglum, coming to you semi-live from the Go Power Cat studios and offices in beautiful downtown Manhattan, Kansas. As most of you know, North Dakota State men's basketball tips off tonight against Kansas State. And I'm here with my friends at Go Power Cat. They're recording their podcast right now. We're going to hopefully get together a little bit later for an episode of BRTV, but so stay tuned for that. Big time weekend for Bison Athletics. Big win out in Youngstown, and then Dave Richmond and his crew getting their crack at kind of a gettable Kansas State team. Picked ninth in the Big 12, defending Big 12 champions, but lost three, honestly, like Ring of Honor Hall of Fame level guys in Kamau Stokes, Barry Brown, and Dean Wade. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Right now, what we're going to do is hammer the news. First thing that came out this weekend was that Kobe Johnson was named the Special Teams Player of the Week. Kobe had an awesome, awesome return for a touchdown against Youngstown State. Also got loose on a couple of runs after not being part of the game plan at South Dakota State. That young man was part of all the plans against Youngstown and really, really gave the Penguins troubles. Another guy that gave the Penguins trouble was offensive tackle, and in my opinion, future NFL draft pick Dylan Raidens. Dylan was dominant. He was, I believe, pitched a shutout in pass protection and really dominated in run. Dylan played exceptional and was named the Missouri Valley Football Conference Offensive Lineman of the Week, which is kind of wild when you consider that now the left tackle, center, right guard, and right tackle have all been named Missouri Valley Football Offensive Lineman of the Week. And, you know, we've only played 8-9 games, and NDSU has basically half the awards among four of their five offensive linemen. Truly shows you the job that my guy A.J. Blazek is doing. Coach Blazek, I hope you're listening. Your Rams are up to no good, and I think it's appreciated by the entire fan base, because that is that's an impressive crew for sure, and they are being recognized as such. And again, you know, like we said, North Dakota State basketball takes on Kansas State tonight, and I don't have my guy Nate Zastro. Nate's going to be watching the game. He's going to be live tweeting. He's going to be covering the game. Nate's going to have all you basketball fans taken care of, but some scheduling stuff. He didn't quite make it on the pod. But I've been down here. I've been talking to, you know, K-State staffers, K-State, you know, the beat writers down here that cover men's basketball, and expectations are tempered. It's a very young and talented team that the Cats have. They've got a junior college point guard that's extremely long and extremely good defensively. Sloan is his name. They've got the Chicago Player of the Year coming in as a freshman, and that's a big time deal. I mean, you talk about people that have won that Chicagoland Player of the Year award, and it's a who's who. Derek Rose, Anthony Davis. You go way back, and you're talking about Isaiah Thomas, but even more recent guys like Jabari Parker and Jahlil Okafor. These are, you know, big time kids, and DeJuan Gordon, I think, is no different. But he is a freshman, as are a lot of, you know, some guys that they're expecting to get some major contributions from, and that I think is something that definitely leans Bison as far as the experience factor. Another big factor to pay attention to this game is length. Mekaume Ween is a senior. A real big kid at 6'9", but he's got really long arms, and I think is is longer, you know, than 6'9". He was a junior college kid that came in and was a starter with Wade Stokes and Brown, and is going to be somebody that challenges a lot of shots at the rim. North Dakota State doesn't have tremendous height if you're looking from a high major perspective. They're plenty big to play in the Summit League, but from a high major perspective, they're, you know, a little bit smaller. And I think, honestly, that is to be expected. Other key guys to watch would be Mike McGurl, who is the sixth man on that team. And then their best player is Xavier Sneed. X put his name in the draft last year, didn't necessarily get the feedback he was looking for, and returned to Kansas State. A very up and down player. When he's on, terrifying. And I think if he's on, it kind of probably removes North Dakota State's chance to win this game. But if he's not on, and he's inconsistent, he's not, you know, hitting his shots, he has a tendency to sort of take himself out of games. And that is where I think North Dakota State can strike, because beyond that, there are not a ton of bucket getters, as we call them. There are not a ton of guys that create their own shot. This K-State team just had an exhibition with Washburn, who I think is a Division II college in the area, and only won that game by 10 and really struggled to score. Cartier Jada is another very athletic kid. People remember his left-handed windmill dunk to kind of put away KU last year in what was a huge moment for K-State athletics. But this is going to be, I think, a really tight game. The key for North Dakota State, I think, tonight is going to be Rocky Cruiser. And I know, you know, Vinny Shaheed and Tyson Ward, and there are guys on the name, you know, on the team with bigger names than Rocky Cruiser. But if Rocky and, well, frankly, and Griesel, but if Rocky and Griesel at the 4 and 5 positions can hold their own defensively and stack that paint and make Kansas State shoot it over them without getting easy layups from Maywean or Levi Stockard or James Love or any of the big guys for Kansas State, if they can make everyone shoot over them, and then on offense, if they can bring the 4 and 5 defenders from Kansas State out to the three-point line, I think the Bison have a chance, because that opens up lanes for a guy like Tyson Ward if he wants to post up, which he really, really did well towards the end of last season. That opens up the ability for Vinny Shaheed to drive and kick. Vinny doesn't want to go in with the trees, you know, like Maywean and Stockard. Vinny wants to finish at the rim against a guard. So if they can get the pick and pop action going with Rocky, or you know, get the ball out to Sam on the wing where he's one-on-one with a power forward, you know, big, long guy, I think that's definitely going to be the key. And I'm going to just go ahead and say it. I might be wrong, but I actually think North Dakota State wins tonight. They're a senior-laden team, and this is a very young Kansas State team that needs to gel. This is a North Dakota State team with absolutely nothing to lose. So I think the Bison win a close one tonight. It's kind of a wild take, especially when you consider the Vegas betting line. But it's just my feeling as someone who covered both teams last year, and with Coach Richmond thus far without a Power 5 win, I think tonight is a fantastic opportunity for him to get that first one. I think we all remember Coach Miles and his victories over Marquette and Wisconsin. We remember Saul and his victory over Notre Dame. I think it would be a massive deal for North Dakota State to get a win tonight, and maybe not so much of a big deal for K-State to take the loss. Going to bring in now my football analyst, Trevor Gebhardt. Trevor, how are we doing?
We're doing good down in the South, buddy. A little bit of an audible with our audio. I know we like to give the people what they want. Bad audio is not one of them, so I apologize in advance. But kind of a crazy week, a lot going on, and just glad we were able to get this done, man.
Yeah, you know, you have to bear with us a little bit. This is not the quality that we've been able to provide you with the new software, but the important thing is that we got it done, because Trev's traveling. Trev's on business. I'm in freaking Manhattan, Kansas. I mean, we're trying to make this work amongst a lot of other things that are going on. One thing that you nailed that I did not, though, was the butt kicking that was going to happen in Youngstown, Ohio. Maybe you didn't predict the butt kicking, but you definitely predicted a wider spread than I did. How do you think that happened?
Simple preparation and a desire to be clicking on all cylinders. that offense had not done that in a few weeks, and I just felt like they were primed for it. I've seen it in the past. I've experienced it in the past. And I know the type of message that those players were getting all week. I mean, you had a 22-point performance against a pretty abysmal Missouri State squad, and then obviously South Dakota State, you're not expecting to put up 50 by any means, but felt like the offense was not clicking on all cylinders in the Dakota Marker game, and it just seemed like a night game at Youngstown, this was an opportunity for those guys to send the message that they're back and that they can do this consistently. And we had seen that in the first, you know, 6 to 8 weeks of the season, just quality, efficient offense. It got off track a little bit, but they certainly showed a lot of people, a.k.a. the country, that they're back, they've arrived, and they're here to stay offensively.
Yeah, that was something that I had mentioned, that I just wanted to see it before I would believe it. I saw two, as you mentioned, I mean, we saw two consecutive weeks of kind of mediocre offense. Not bad offense, but kind of mediocre offense, or, you know, league average offense, 22, 23 points, whatever it may be. And I just wanted to see this game before I picked this game. And I know that sounds stupid, but that's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see an explosion. In my opinion, my guess, my estimation was that that explosion was not going to come on a cold night in Youngstown, Ohio. I assumed it was going to come in 70 degrees with no wind in the dome, probably this upcoming weekend against, I believe, Western Illinois. Life's a little nuts right now, so I haven't had a chance to make sure I know who's next on the schedule on a Tuesday. I think it's Western, but we'll get that figured out for sure.
It's Western.
Okay, all right.
You got the next, buddy.
And so one guy who doesn't need to get anything figured out is our boy Trey Lance. I talked about adjusted yards per attempt as a statistic that I really like. Giving 20 yards for an interception, or giving 20 yards for a touchdown and taking away 45 yards for an INT. Our boy had 24.5. 24.5 adjusted yards an attempt on Saturday, which is just nuts. I believe the numbers were 7 for 9 for a 163. Like you mentioned, maybe after Butler, boy, it would be cool if he could go 9 for 9, but whoo, doggy, when you're at 24 adjusted yards an attempt, I mean, that is as lethal as you can possibly be. Something that's wild, too. You know, the Bison only ran 43 plays. Part of that, I think, had to do with the muff punt and kind of slowing things down at the end. But to have 24 yards adjusted on attempt and to have 56 points on 43 plays, that's about as efficient of a night at the office as you can have.
So, I mean, I don't want to get too sidetracked here. And I talk about it in my midweek thoughts. So for those of you that don't have the VIP subscription, that's usually the only way you can read what I'm thinking and touch on. But Trey Lance, to me, deserves a couple of awards this year. And one of them would be the Jerry Rice Award, and the other one being the Walter Payton Award. So I touched on that in my midweek thoughts, so kind of a shameless plug there for our subscribers and non-subscribers alike to go check that out. But that throw to Christian Watson, that really put a stamp on how the night was going to go. That pass was a beauty. I thought the route was phenomenal as well, but you do not expect throws like that from a redshirt freshman at any level of football. Just a special kid. I know we've hounded this home throughout the whole year. We haven't really talked about it in a few weeks, but like you said, near perfect. This kid is a special talent. I there's really nothing else you can say about it. It's really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, and I think that the simple difference in this game is you saw these bomb throws at South Dakota State. They hit the dirt. Whether it was receiver or Trey, it really truly doesn't matter. But when you connect on a bomb, like they did with Watson, it's killer. I mean, it's a destructive force in the game, and what it does obviously on the scoreboard is one thing. What it does mentally is another, especially when you've got a team in North Dakota State that loves to run the ball the way that they do. When you have a vertical passing game and you have to use your, or should, obviously didn't, but you should be using your safeties to respect the gifts of a Christian Watson, the gifts of a Phoenix Sproles. Now all of a sudden, you know, North Dakota State's running into 6- and 7-man boxes, and now you really have problems. And that's where basically Youngstown State ended up, was problems. And that was an awesome performance by Watson and Sproles. You're talking about 69 yards for both of them. Christians came on one bomb, but when there are only when there are only 9 receptions to go around, 7 receptions from the starter, it's kind of wild to be that good, that efficient, that excellent in their work. And I pointed it out on Twitter. How nuts is it that Christian, Phoenix, and Trey have 2 seasons together after this one?
That, yes. I think a lot of people were talking about that on Twitter, not just Bison fans and Bison media. This was coming around from all over. And that's scary, man, because these guys have 2 more calendar years to practice together. So the timing and the chemistry that they already show, it's only going to get better to the point where we're going to see some fun stuff happen and some fun plays happen. I don't think we've seen it before at NDSU. I'd say our group was possibly the closest just because we all played together at such a young age. But we also did not have the, as a group, the talent ability that I think that these guys have. So where they can go, I think, is the sky's the limit, in my opinion, because 2 more years with a full group, it's, I don't know, it's pretty cool. Now, if they keep doing this to teams, hopefully we don't miss out on that opportunity, because there was, what, 11 attempts total in the game between Zeb and 5? I mean, so it's like they might not even have to do it. And the way that the recruiting is going, kids are coming to Fargo as a destination now. I mean, hashtag back in my day, it wasn't quite a destination yet. It was starting to get to that point, you know, around 2013-ish. But now it is. So you're going to see consistent All-American linemen. You're going to see consistent tall, long, fast receivers. Not that we weren't, but it's just, you know, a little bit longer, a little bit faster, and just a little bit better. Not all of us had FBS offers. A lot of these kids do now. Kids are choosing NDSU over Big Ten and Big 12 programs. And now, when you're getting that type of recruiting to walk into the door in the Fargo Dome, hard to say that these guys are going to be on the field for the full game. And we're starting to see that more and more. I hope the fans aren't getting fatigued by it, because it's truly a special thing to watch. It's a rare, rare occurrence in a program, and it's not going to last forever. So enjoy it while it's happening. But I just hope that we get to see their full potential, because they might be blowing people out like this on a consistent basis over the next season or two. And selfishly, I hope they throw it 20 to 25 times a game, even if they're up by 30 points, because I want to see some quality ball.
Well, and that's the question, right? And so I'm looking back at 2015, and I think was Tim the offensive coordinator at that time? It must have been.
Yeah, because I think he would have been, because he came my senior year, which was 14, and then he was OC at Iowa in 16. So he would have been there.
Okay, so Polasek was the offensive coordinator, and I'm looking at 2015. Carson Wentz, in his 7 starts, because that 8th game, I think, was where they just had him line up at tailback and did the standing ovation for him after, you know, when he still wasn't ready to play. So in 7 starts, you're looking at 208 attempts. You round it up to 210 attempts. That means that he was throwing the ball 30 times a game as a senior. And so what I'd like to know or wonder is if they ever get to that point with Lance, Sproles, and Watson where they're so good on the outside that they get to the point where they do actually want to throw it 30 times a game, even if they can run it, just because they're that efficient through the air. It certainly would be, you know, kind of a break from Bison football to average 28, 29, 30 throws in a game. Then, you know, Easton never, and but Easton was a runner and a very good one, but Easton never was given that kind of leash to throw it 30 times in a game. And I'm interested to see if we ever get there with Trey, because he is extremely talented, and the kids that he has around him are also, you know, very, very gifted. I want to take just a second out of the show to say that we're thinking of praying for Nathan Mays. That was a gruesome injury. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, Trevor. The young man's foot was not pointed the right direction, and, you know, they brought out the cart, brought out the air cast. His career is over, and we just, you know, wish him the best moving forward into what we, you know, refer to as the real life, what you and I are doing now. You never want to see a kid's career end like that, and, you know, we're thinking about him and want to, you know, want him to do well moving forward. Did you notice a significant improvement from the defensive line? Because I was a little bit rough on them just in their performance against South Dakota State. I didn't think they were particularly good against Missouri State either, but I thought that South Dakota State kind of got the better of them offensive line versus defensive line. Not a terrible yards per carry from Youngstown State at four, but ultimately they were never in the game. And I feel like the pressure on the quarterback and the pressure on some of the option things they were trying to run had a big, big part to do with that.
Yeah, the ebb and flow of the game makes it a little bit more difficult. I mean, you're the way NDSU jumped out to such a fast start. I mean, you have the drop punt touchdown, you get the ball back, long bomb touchdown, you put yourself up 14 rip right away. And then of course the two Babbage touchdowns. But as a defensive line, you're still looking to get home to the quarterback as you're dropping back. But in that instance, your game plan changes a little bit. You're probably not blitzing as many guys, so you're taking – that's putting more pressure on them. So your defensive lineman, to an extent, is going to get more winded, as weird as that may sound, because you're not – I mean, you have no reason to bring the house as much. You don't have a reason to blitz as much because you know that they're going to have to throw it a little bit more. They still only threw the ball 22 times, so not a ton. 43 rushing attempts, which is a lot. I don't know. I just feel like they're not going to be put in a position to succeed as much as you would like them to, given the nature of the flow of the game.
Yeah, and I think that definitely makes sense. The flow of the game, when the punt was muffed and then Trey runs it in, and then you have the Watson bomb. It's kind of nuts to say the game was over, but I got to tell you, I mean, the game was over. That honestly, at that point, Youngstown State legitimately played, looked, felt, body language, et cetera, like they didn't want to be there. And Bo basically said the same thing. Not that they didn't want to be there, but he said, we got our butts kicked. You know, and he's not a guy that makes excuses, but he absolutely nailed it on that one. I want to then, you know, kind of talk about what we've been talking about through the course of this undefeated season, which is where they might slip. And now they're in a position where they will not be, I'm going to guarantee you this, they will not be less than a 20-point favorite for the rest of the way. This Saturday they're hosting Western Illinois for the Harvest Bowl. Then they're going to host South Dakota for senior night. Then they're going to head out to Carbondale, Southern Illinois, to try and protect that number one overall seed. And like I said, they're going to be favored by 20 in each game. How do they avoid the trap here, Trev?
Hammer home that you remember November. November is where teams get defined going into the postseason, and it is what people remember about those teams. A lot of times teams might lose early on in the season, but they drop that one. They go on to win a lot of games. They might drop one more, but if their last month of the season, which is November, is really good football. That's what people remember about him. That's where teams get defined the most. And so I think for a young group, you have to hammer that home because they haven't experienced that yet. And you drop a late game, you're going to fall further down into the playoff rankings than you would have otherwise had they dropped to, say, like Missouri State and had that random slip up in the middle of the year like we've seen a couple times. So I think just consistently putting that message ahead saying, guys, you drop one in November, you might not have home field advantage. You look at like a James Madison and like a South Dakota State getting home field advantage. I don't think those kids want to go outside of the dome. As recruits, you start to understand that early on in that process that the dome is a unique place to play, especially when you go look at other stadiums in comparison and what those fan bases are like. So teams coming into a hostile environment in the Fargo Dome for the first time, it's very difficult. So understanding that, bringing that message up over and over, probably every day at this point, because they're not going to lose to Western. It would take something of epic proportions, like losing to Butler. Imagine what you'd have to think of what would have to happen in that first game of the year to lose. So it would take something like that to lose to Western. Those last two games can be a trap game, though. You're at home. It's USD, and then you're on the road at Southern Illinois. Crazy things can happen. Those are trap games. So do not be complacent. Finish the job. Go get your first goal completed of winning the Missouri Valley title and get home field advantage, and then you let the chips fall where they may after that point. So let the kids know what they're playing for and keep consistently reminding them, because otherwise – you can fall into that complacency trap of it's been a long grind, the season's been carrying on, and we're not playing a quality opponent, so we don't have to have our guard up. You want to avoid that at all costs, get the job done, get yourself a conference ring locked in, and then it's go time.
Absolutely. All right. We want to thank you, Trev, obviously, for your time. Listeners, thank you for listening, especially if you've made it this far with us. If you want to support Trevor and I in this venture, easily the number one way to do that is to become a VIP member at the Bison Report. Running a multitude of specials on that right now, as well as the opportunity to be a no commercials version CBS All Access subscriber, something that is just a tremendous value to what we already think is a tremendous value, and that's to be a VIP member at Bison Report. Guys, thanks for listening one last time, and especially tonight, go Bison.